you for what you're already doing today by your Spirit. Lord, we just, as we open your word, as we hear the testimonies of what you're doing in people's hearts and lives, oh God, what you've done and what you're doing, God. Lord, we just want to see you glorified and lifted up. We thank you that your Spirit is moving, oh God. But Lord, we know there's more, God. And so, Lord, we surrender to you that you would have your way, because we know that it's your anointing that breaks the yoke. God, it's you, Lord, it's you. So we surrender to you and we say, more, Lord, more of you, Jesus. We want to decrease that you would increase. The people said, amen. Just a couple of quick verses to shoot us off into these testimonies. You know, the religious spirit always wants to shut down the power of God. It wants to shut down the activity of the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't help but thinking as I was reading Matthew 28, that, you know, it says that the chief priests assembled a plan. So Jesus had been risen. The grave, the tomb was empty. And here are the chief priests assembling a plan with the elders that they were going to give the soldiers a large sum of money. And they took the money and told a lie that his disciples stole Jesus' body whilst everyone else was asleep. The religious spirit wants to deny the power of God. We don't want to be a people that deny the power of God. We want to give testimony to the power of God. Is there an amen? You know, we probably know the verse of Scripture in Romans probably really well. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Stand up if you're not ashamed of the gospel this morning. Stand up. Obviously, stand up or raise your hand up. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. Amen. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. For it is the power of God to salvation. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your power, your wonder-working power. And the other verse of Scripture, when Paul said, he said, I came to you, brothers. When I came to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. You know, there are some times when we're trying to almost convince someone that Jesus is alive. Sometimes we try and convince people that Jesus is real. And sometimes you just need to say, can I pray for you? Because what happens is when you say, can I pray for you, no longer are you trying to convince them, but you are relying upon the power of God to touch them. And how many times that people are going, oh, no, 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 and I say, can I pray for you? And God touches them and he moves in their life and their life is never the same again, amen. That is what Paul said. He said, I did not come with wise or persuasive words. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came in weakness and fear and trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And that is our testimony. Amen. That people's faith would not rest upon man's wisdom. It wouldn't be, look what this person has done. Look what that person has done. Look at this one. Better be, look what the Lord has done. His power at work in me. Amen. I think we can all testify of something that God has done in our life. Amen. Transformed us, changed us, saved us. Andrew, come on down. Freely you've received, freely give, brother. Just use it like a lollipop.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Joel, because I know how you feel coming up the front. My heart's going at about 700 beats per minute. What has Jesus done for me? What hasn't he done for me? I was a slave to sin, drugs, alcohol, just living a very sinful life. And I got to my tether and Jesus was there to pick me up. He gave me new life, gave me everything. I had nothing before that. And he was gracious and yeah, I'm merciful and just waiting for me. And my story is similar to Joel as well. We've had a sort of rough couple of years since COVID. We hit the road too. And yeah, we ended up in Bundaberg here. We were at a Bible study about 11 months ago, and one of the fellas there that he felt led to pray for Monique, and he just said to her, whatever, there's something on your mind right now and God's going to bless you with that. And little did I know, she was praying for another baby. And we'd lost a couple since we'd been on the road, and that's probably hard to imagine too with how many little ones we've got running around. But yeah, a few weeks after that, we found out she was pregnant, and we did some calculations and realized it was that night that we got prayed for. And yeah, I didn't know she'd even prayed for that, like I was saying, and I guess I was trying not to. My artist. But yeah, then so we've had the little one now. That's number five boys. And we're still wondering, like, why did we settle here where we meant to and stuff? And then Monique reminded me of a pastor back, might have been a year after I got saved. Sorry, I'm trying to think of his name. Arthur Payne. He was a Baptist leader for Western Australia. Anyway, he came around and saw us when we were living in a little caravan in Broome. And he said, you know, I can see yous with lots of boys living on a farm, which is what we're doing right now. So, yeah, that's, you look back at things and it's just amazing what Jesus has done in your life. And yeah, we've all got to be wary of that and mindful of that every day. Like Bruce was saying a few weeks ago, we don't want to be those dry bones. We want to be that shining light in this dark world, pointing people towards Jesus. So this weekend, yeah, we should be thankful every day, but especially this weekend when it's, we're just thinking about it. Jesus died for our sins, died for us, rose again so that we may be with him forever. And yeah, that's about it. Oh, there's, when I was saved, like this gentleman was saying this morning, talking about Revelation 3:20, was it? When I was saved, I was at an Angus Buchan conference my sister had bought me tickets to. And I was that person in the seat, and Angus was saying, all right, there's people here who need to give their heart to Jesus. I want you to stand up now. And I was just sitting down. And it felt like time went on forever. And he's like, no, I'm not going to start praying. We'll stay here all night until everyone stands up. And I just still sat there. And it's getting uncomfortable. And it felt like it was going on for hours. But I don't know how long it was. And then I stood up and it felt like instantly said, righto, let's pray. So, yeah, if there is someone here today, yeah, stand up. I'll come out the front at the end. Praise Jesus. Thank you.
If you're battling with addictions of any kind, Jesus can set you free. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, lust, whatever it is, Jesus can set you free. We've seen it before. He's still doing it today. Amen. Jody, looks like you're next. She's up. Woo!
Good morning. So I don't know where to start. So during the week I've been praying and asking God what I should say. So he kindly told me this morning, well, it's your story. So I guess I start from the beginning. So, hello, my name's Jody. So I was born here in Bundaberg. I am the youngest out of nine. So being the youngest, you had to, I had to learn to be pretty tough. So I got to be tough with these, but I soon found out that there was more power in raising them to our Heavenly Father than what there is by using them with your fists closed. I was first introduced to Jesus at the Pitt Street Gospel Church with, there was a preacher named Ken and his wife Jean West. So that's where I attended church at a very early age. So when I was at school also, I was pretty good at primary school, so I was good at athletics and all that kind of stuff. But then when I hit high school, I was introduced to a different group of friends. So by the time I was in year 10, I was first introduced to witchcraft, where I was got pretty heavily involved in that. So that sort of staggered on in my life for many years, and I think it played such a big part of what would happen in the time to come. So as I went along, I end up having really bad addiction to drugs and alcohol, which led to many different scenes of my life where I've had threats against my life. Just for note, I don't really want to concentrate on the bad stuff that has happened, because God has delivered me from all that stuff, but he's told me to lay it all out on the table, because we never know what people are suffering from. So during my drug and alcohol addiction, I was involved in many different kind of groups, as you could know. There was a lot of violence. I've had guns held against my head. I've had my life threatened. I've had many other different things have happened to me. As I got older, I was in a very violent relationship. Out of that relationship, I had my eldest son and my daughter. And this is when God first showed me that he was watching over me, even though I was not serving him. So my second child, due to the violent relationship I was in, she was diagnosed with the doctor said that she wouldn't fully develop. So she had a massive hole in her heart. Her hands weren't growing. One of her legs were also stunted. So they had advised me to have an abortion because she would be severely disabled. So I had booked my appointment for the abortion. So the night before, I was there getting ready. I had a knock at the door. So a lady had turned up off of the street. She actually, when I opened up the door, she said to me, "Are you Jody?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "God has come and told me to tell you that your daughter is fully healed, and that when she was born, that there will be nothing the matter with her." So she is actually 22 years of age now. So she is doing wonderful. So that was my first encounter with God, knowing that he was still there looking out for me, even though all the stuff that I have done. So as life went on, things have happened. He delivered me from my drugs and alcohol addiction. He's took me away from various groups that weren't so much good for me. What else has he done? Oh, heaps of stuff. Like he has been there, and he's delivered me and he's healed me from hurt and from loss. I had lost my eldest son to suicide. And just right now, he's delivering. And just right now, he is delivering me from that guilt I have had over me for years. And due to his loss, my second son, he started to act out, and he got himself involved with some not very nice people. And when he turned 18, he was sentenced to jail for 7 years. So God actually helped me and him also walk through that time. He has been out for the last 4 years, and he is doing well. Still prayers are needed, but he's doing pretty good. I also had lost my sister the night before my wedding, 45 minutes after I had left her place. She was pronounced dead. So, but the Lord had brought me through that, and he has healed me through that. My dad was a very strong Christian man. So he, from the time that we were able to read, he would let us know about Psalms 91. So the verse that he would let us know about was Psalms 91, 11, 12. So it was, God has commanded angels to guard you. So he made us make it personal. So God has given me angels, not circumstances, not situations, the authority to act on my behalf, and God is my refuge. When I look back, which I'm glad I can, I look back and I think to myself, there was many days, many mornings, I would stand at my kitchen window and I would pray and ask God, there must be a better life than this. There must be a better life. Like, you need to show me, you need to choose me and take me away from this. And when I look back at those days right now, it's just funny to know that he was there with me the whole time and that he has never left me or forsaken me. Like, when I stand here today, who would think that way back then that I would be standing at the front, Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday, standing here and testifying how good God's love is. So I think that's just one great thing that is just, it's just so awesome to be able to do that here this morning. So hopefully this has touched somebody. And it's always scary sharing your story. Like, people look at you differently and go, what? No, but thank you very much.
So good. So good. So good. Arnold.
Hey, hello, everyone. I'm Arnold Fuquandi. I've just recently moved here from Blackwater, born and raised in Mount Isa. I'm Vanuatu, mixed islander. I was told, asked to, if you wanted to share your testimony or something like that. I said, yeah, right, yeah. Little surf and turf boy come up here. I don't know. I wasn't sure of what to share about, but this big thing about rejection I wanted to share about, it's something that I've battled with my whole life. I grew up in a family that was very violent. Like, extremely violent. And a lot of alcohol, a lot of drug abuse, all that sort of stuff. A lot of sexual abuse. I've been through it. I don't know my father. Never met him in my life. My mother, don't have a really good relationship at all with her. And I've never really had a relationship with her, so I don't know what it was like to grow up with that affection and that tenderness and that thing that families do, connecting with each other. I grew up in a place where the dinner table wasn't around, and the dinner table is a place where family get together. It's a place of love and unity. And I've never really got to experience that type of level in my life. But I thank the Lord, you know, I met the Lord when I was a young fella, 15 around there. Gave my heart to the Lord in Gladstone, Port City. I gave my heart to the Lord there. That's where I met Jesus. That's where I sort of had my first encounter with the Lord. I was just up at the front of the altar and just crying. And all of a sudden, I just felt these beautiful arms come around me. Like, no, I couldn't see nothing, eh? I was just standing up here and as these big arms. I don't know how to describe it. It was as gentle as, I don't know how, it was strong, but gentle, the touch. You know, the way that was my first experience with the Lord. And from there on, had a lot of supernatural encounters in my whole life. You know, I've been through a lot. I've seen a lot of the spiritual side of things and how the enemy works and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I wanted to come up here and say something about, you know, that spirit of rejection, eh? It's a lie. It's a liar. That's a lie from the devil. If you're feeling rejected, you are not rejected because you belong to God. You're his beloved. And, you know, the enemy, he'll tell you that you don't belong to anyone. You grew up like this. No one wants you. And, That's a lie. Every word that, you know, when the enemy speaks, it's a lie. But everything about Jesus, the spirit of truth with God, is the truth. And you are accepted from, you know, into Jesus. You're his beloved. You've got the spirit of sonship. You belong to him. I thank the Lord that I made that choice, that I come to Jesus, man. You know, because now I don't have to battle with that spirit of rejection. I've been going through a lot of deliverance and I got set free from that spirit of rejection. I had that for many years. Hey? Yeah. Just gone. I found it very hard to sit in the chair and praise and worship the Lord because, you know, that the enemy was saying, nah, you're not accepted here. Everyone's looking at you, blah, blah, blah. That's a lie, man. That's a straight lie. And I haven't had a thought since at all of anything, no thought of, you know, no one loves me and all that sort of stuff. And it's never popped up ever since I went through deliverance this week and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's the truth, eh? the Lord's, he's everything to me. He's been a parent. He's protected me. There's a number of times where I could have died, you know, thyroid removed, thyroid cancer, 42 stitches up and down my wrist. I've been through a lot. You know, the Lord delivered me from a lot of things, from violent behavior. Used to love punching up on the streets. You know, growing up out in Mount Isa out west. So I thank the Lord that he delivered me. He took me out of that place, out of that mindset. You know, and it's through the word of God. You know, it's the word of God. You got to learn to pick up your Bible and read it. Stop being lazy, man. Eh? Get up. And you got to do it on a daily thing. It's an everyday thing. It's not a one part-time job, man. You got to, it's a relationship, eh? And that relationship's in the word of God. And that's how I found my freedom. That's how I found the truth is the word of God. You know, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're my beloved child. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Always with you. I'm you know, the Lord was telling me all these scriptures. And I picked that Bible up at the age of 15 and I'd go into the schools, eh? I was so in love with the Lord, man. I'd go into schools, walk in there with my Bible and just shout, like, oh, you know. I've met him at a young age. And, yeah, I've never dabbled in drugs, but alcohol was a big issue in my life. That was like a coping, like comfort thing that I was stuck in. And Lord set me free from that, delivered me from that with the truth. You know, when you're going through deliverance and the Lord's setting you free, it's the truth there. It sets you free. And it's applying that word to your life and you're living it. So you're walking in that truth. You know, you got to walk in that truth. And along that comes along with it is your identity in Christ. There's nowhere else ever where you'll find true identity. You'll only find it in the Bible through Jesus Christ. It's through the blood, the resurrection. It's through Jesus. That's what I found out. You know, I found like rejection was just it was a big, big thing in my life. You know, it looked like it was like at a point where, hey, this is who I am. This is where I'm going to be at for the rest of my life. It's not. Come to the truth that you belong to Jesus. That's all it is. Just come to the Lord. You know, your identity and who you are is in Christ. You're the righteousness of God. You're a child of God. So I'm set free and washed by the blood. The Spirit of the living God lives within me. You know, God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, so yeah, God can set you free, and there's nowhere else you can go. Buddha won't, nothing, all that stuff. No, it won't. Jesus is alive. He lives. He's a living God. He's alive. So that's a bit about my story. And if you're feeling rejected, if you don't feel like you're wanted or anything like that, you know, my relationship with my mum, rejection can tie up around your soul, around your life. And how I came to be set free from it, like, is to, believe in the truth and the identity of who you are. But I had to come to a place in my heart, and I found this very hard to do, but I did it. I just did it. I said, God, I miss mum. I forgive her. You know, I forgive her and I miss her. And there's nothing wrong with saying that that you miss that family member, that you want to be close with them again and be restored back with them. You know, come back into that place of that. That's it, humility, humbleness. You know, you want to be set free from something that's tormenting your life. The key is humility. You ought to be humble about it. And, you know, don't try hide things from God, because you can't. Just be real with him. He'll set you free, man. And yeah, that's me.
Amen. You know, you can love the Lord. You can be here. You can still struggle with stuff. And part of that testimony, we're blessed to be a part of that, is that God can set you free. Don't struggle with those things anymore. Line it up with the Word of God and say, hang on a minute, what's happening in my life, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking is not what it says in the Word of God, so why? Come and get some prayer. The Spirit of God touches you. The Spirit of God moves. There is a such thing as deliverance. There's large sections of the church today that don't believe in it, don't practice it, but it is so real. Don't struggle with things that you don't have to struggle with. Amen. Be set free. Walk in the freedom. Walk in the total freedom. As the music team comes down the front, I was just pondering this verse of scripture because I really feel that speaks to us. It says in Romans 8, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Can I say that this morning? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, but even more has been raised. And he is also at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us. What can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ? That's a reminder today. With everything that's been shared, all the testimonies, even around communion, everything that's been shared, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ? Amen. Can affliction or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, a sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Feelings can lie to you. Circumstances can lie to you. The devil certainly lies to you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There's something to stand up and celebrate today. There's something to stand up and praise the Lord about today. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ.